The following program contains names, places, and events that have been anonymized or fictionalized for the purposes of protection and safety. The following program is provided for entertainment purposes only, and any commentary from the hosts are strictly conjecture and should not be held as making any definitive statements about the truth or identity of any particular individuals or circumstances. If you or a loved one are involved in an abusive relationship, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 for support.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Mackenzie. Hi.
So good to see you for another Dating Detectives episode.
We have such a great story today with such an awesome guest. I was obsessed with her.
Yeah, I really like her a lot. And here, you wait till you guys hear it.
I am excited to hear the responses to this one.
Yeah, like I'm curious if it's going to be like a split response or if everybody's going to like lean one. You guys just wait till you hear it. But first, a little bit of housekeeping and a little bit of information and news. So first of all, let's talk about the live show, which is happening March 21st. And you guys, tickets are selling really fast. So make sure you get your ticket.
That's in LA.
Yeah, it's in LA at the, what's it called? The Hyperion?
The Lyric Hyperion Theater.
Yes, thank you. That was
very cute theater. It's going to be intimate. This is our first time doing a live event. So we're keeping it intimate so we can connect with y'all.
And the tickets are only $20.
Right. Shout out to Mama Linny. You commented, why do I live in Illinois? I want to go to the live show. Well, maybe we'll come to Illinois. You guys should tell us where you live if you want us to come do a show there.
We have a lot of listeners in Chicago.
I know. We should do a Chicago show.
We really should first of all, I've never been there. That'd be cool. But also, we have a lot of listeners in Chicago, so that would be really fun. But we're excited to meet you guys, and I'm so excited for the live show. We cannot wait. So thank you guys. If you've already bought tickets, let us know. Like, tell us how excited you are.
Where can they get tickets? In our show
notes? Oh, yeah,
notes?
In the show notes. You can get the link to buy the tickets in the show notes. Thank you.
So that's exciting. Okay. Next order of business. Patreon stuff. Shout out to Patreon.
Oh,
ongoing
yes.
updates
okay.
there.
So we got a request from a listener who said it would really be cool if you talked a little bit about like how women can protect themselves physically. And so they recommended that it would probably be a good idea to get like some professionals in those areas where we want to talk to female law enforcement officers and females that have been in the military and self-defense experts.
Yes.
So we want to come up with a panel and have a whole Patreon episode about it.
I also just am excited to learn from people's experiences, like people who have worked in that line of work. I don't have experience. I want to hear their stories too. So
yeah, exactly. That'd be really great.
Let us know.
Yeah. If you know anybody that's in like private investigators or cops, anybody that is in kind of that field that might know something about that, that'd be great to hear from them.
Yeah. And Patreon, $5 a month. Sign up for bonus episodes, live streams with us, and more updates on all kinds of things that we don't share publicly.
The Patreon is so fun. And the Patreoners have been getting a couple of extra updates that you guys might be missing out on. But it's only $5 a month. And yeah, it's a fun place to be and hang out sometimes. Are we ready to get into today's episode?
I'm so ready.
Let's do it.
Hi, Lila.
Hi.
Take it away, girl. Tell us all the things.
So I'm Lila. We're going to go like clear back to March of 2010. I was a college student, just working part-time, had not been in any serious relationships since high school, just kind of the casual dating scene. So I, nearing the end of college and out with some friends, and this guy, which is just like at the time I thought dreamy, I could tell he was older, but he wasn't like the, you know, daddy issue type of old. He was like, he could go either way, like late 20s, early 30s. And he was just like, you know, when you can feel somebody like looking at you, I wasn't 100% sure he was looking at me. He may have been checking out my friend. I knew that was kind of, could go either way. But he eventually comes over and asks to buy us all drinks. He had some buddies with him, and his name was Alex, and the most charming, good-looking man that I had in a very long time laid eyes on. And also, it wasn't the college boy frat boy type of vibe that he was giving off. So very intriguing. And like, I was engaged with him from the get-go. We talked for hours and hours that night. We exchanged numbers, talked throughout the night. Even after we left the bar, we were still like texting each other. Immediately got the butterflies, googly eyes, all that. And he was a traveling pipeliner from Texas, like 4 hours away from where I was living, and he was working at the time. And so he was in my town working for the next couple months, and then he was going to have to leave again for work. But we started dating while he was living where I lived. He was 10 years older than me and definitely at different stages in our life, but we still hit it off and connected. We started just going on dates. And he was very much like giving in the relationship. He would always pay for dinner. When he was gone, he would send me flowers, you know, throughout the week, stuff like that. So very charming in the sense that it wasn't like the relationships that I had been in with broke high school and then the casual dating college guys. So
yeah, you're like, oh, this is a relationship, capital R.
Yeah, I was like, this is what a man's like. And so
he's a man.
So everything was going well. And about 3 months in, he asked me to be his girlfriend and make it official. And I was so happy. I said yes so quick. To say that I definitely wanted that, agreed with that. I probably wanted it like the night that we met at the bar. So okay. It was like long and drawn out. But I'm like, he's older and I don't want to be like the young, pushy, immature girlfriend. So I just kind of never brought it up until he did. And after he asked me to be official, things were amazing. We were like, I would say like we were in the honeymoon phase as far as him just going above and beyond with the relationship. The intentional dates, the flowers, he would for the longest time write me like these notes, and like nobody had ever done that. Just going on about how beautiful I was and how, you know, thankful he was for me and this, that, and the other. So definitely like had me just dug in a hole where I was going to believe everything this man said. Everybody that met him, my friends that met him, all my friends that he met throughout the process of that like 3 month to 6 month mark, everybody loved him. He was such a people guy. He had a great personality. Things were just going so well. I really felt like I had met my person. Around 4 months in, he did have to travel again for work. So we weren't living in the same place, but he would come on the weekends sometimes and then usually once during the week. And we would also take trips sometimes. So I was seeing him a decent amount. At the 6 month mark, he invited me to go home with him back to Texas to meet his mom. So I do that, super excited that he even wanted me to meet his mother because he hadn't met my family yet. And as I was saying, like seemed like he wanted to take things much slower than, you know, obviously I was just in a high school relationship prior to this. So I didn't even know like how relationships really worked, especially with like older men. So at the 6 month mark, he invites me to go to Texas to meet his mom. We do that. We just go to her house for dinner. And we were also he played in like a co-ed softball league. So we go to Texas for the co-ed softball tournament that weekend and we meet his mother. She was the sweetest lady still to this day. Have nothing bad to say about her except for somebody went wrong raising that man. We don't have to blame it all on her. But she was extremely nice to me, respectful, like just Southern mom. He was her only child, so he was definitely like a mama's boy as far as you could tell. He had been catered to his whole entire life. And so that weekend goes amazing. At the softball tournament, his mom even came and like watched us. And I played softball as well in high school, so he invited me to play in the league, and so I did that weekend. And he introduced me as his girlfriend. These were people in his hometown that he had, you know, played with these people for years and was actually friends with. So I was like, wow, he's taking me to introduce him to all these people from his hometown and his mom and all this. So for me, it was like a really big step. When we got back from the trip to Texas, he had met my family and they all loved him. My family's also were from Alabama originally, and he had that Southern hospitality about him, and my parents love that. And my parents are just, they love because they've been together since the sixth grade, so they're just,
wow.
Yeah. Seeing that relationship and their relationship, I always like just, that's what I wanted, you know, and like, I felt like he treated me the way my dad treats my mom, just like the prioritizing me, doing things to make me feel special, doing hobbies and stuff that I enjoyed, stuff like that. Everything was just going so well. And so he meets my family. Again, he's met my friends. Everybody loves him. Nobody has a single bad thing to say about him. Fast forward to 8 months, November of 2010, we go on a weekend getaway. He planned it. He paid for it, everything. We go, having the best time. It's this cabin. And we're there for, I think, 2 days at this point. And we're outside and he's like messing around with the grill and fire pit. And I go inside to do something in the bedroom. I think I was getting ready to take a shower or something. And I go in there and all of a sudden I hear a phone ringing. And I'm like, that's weird. I look, my phone's sitting on the bed, so I know it's not mine. And I could have swore that he had his phone outside with him. So I was like, that's super weird. So I just start looking for this phone and it ended up being in the front zipper of his bag. And
what? Okay.
Yeah. So I grab the phone and I see that it's this picture of this older looking, I say older, she's my age now. it's just like,
you're 22, like, oh my God, they're 25, they're geriatric.
And so I'm like, who is this? And the name is Babe. And it's just a contact picture.
Babe. Oh.
So me again, being young and stupid, today I would have answered that phone quicker than it could ring two times.
Girl, yes.
Then I was like, whose phone is this? And I just run outside with the phone and I'm like, what is this? And he looked like a deer in headlights. He immediately says, that's my buddy Zach's phone from work. He left it on the job site. I'm just keeping it for him until I go back to the job site. And I was like, that kind of makes sense. I don't know this guy. I don't know what his babe looks like. So that could make sense. Everything in me did not believe him, but he was such a smooth talker. And again, he had done nothing but like completely smitten me this whole time. So I immediately was like, okay, so the rest of the trip, I act normal. Again, the back of my head, I know it's not true, but I was like, it could be. So I'm going to trust him.
But you did have a feeling, we call it femtuition.
Oh, 100%.
There was a part of you that was like...
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it was just because of the way he looked when he first saw me like turn that phone around. And it was that, you know, her face and the name Babe. If I had since then, I would have known, but I didn't.
Have you... or someone you know, been the victim of identity theft? Have you been harassed, scammed? So many of us have been scammed, or just honestly just annoyed by like spam and robocalls. You guys might not realize this, but your personal information is everywhere on the internet. We are easy targets, right? And in case you guys didn't know this, you guys think, oh, I don't want to give them my address. Girl, anybody can look up your address and find you. Like, it's all public records, right? And those public records come from information brokers. There is a way to protect ourselves and get peace of mind with Delete Me. Delete Me finds and removes any personal information that you don't want online and makes sure that it stays off. It's a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. Hannah, have you ever experienced something like that where like someone found you online? You're like, I wish they couldn't.
I mean, I've found things about me online that I was like, wait, because, you know, I'm a comedian who Googled myself, but I was surprised when I found things. It's just nice to know what's out there. Delete Me. What I liked about it is that you sign up and provide them exactly what information you want deleted. And then their experts take it from there. So that made me feel comfortable about my personal information not being anywhere. And they send you a regular personalized privacy report to show what information they found. And it's not a one-time service. It's working for you constantly and monitoring everything. And it's not like it's going to necessarily do everything, but it's a very, very good step to take for knowing what about you is out there. But no, thankfully, I haven't gotten scammed because I used Delete Me and now nobody can do it.
As someone who exists publicly, like we do, especially as someone who shares my opinions online, I'm hyper aware of safety and security and being a private investigator. And now it's easier than ever to find personal information about people online. You guys know I do this all the time. I can find anything. If you go pages deep into the Google machine, you can find anything. And all this data can have actual consequences in the real world. So I personally recommend delete me. And I think you should check it out.
Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners. So today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/TDD and use promo code TDD at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/TDD and enter code TDD at checkout. JoindeleteMe.com/TDD.
I noticed after that trip, the whole dynamic changed. Prior to this, he was never controlling. He was never, when he was at work, it wasn't like the texting all day. And before, it wasn't texting all day, but I had always chalked that up to he's a grown man, has a job, doesn't have time to be so readily available. Well, now, after we returned from this trip, it was constant tech. What are you doing? Where are you at? You're not telling the truth. Just totally like very much controlling, to where it had not been that aspect of our relationship at all before.
Classic, they accuse you more.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're the one hiding it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So at this time, he was on a different job site, like 2.5 hours away. So I would go to see him occasionally during the week if I didn't have anything going on. But for the most part, it was just us talking. And then he would always go home on the weekends. So we weren't seeing each other as much. But so I kind of thought, okay, well, he's just being more controlling because we're not seeing each other as much as we were initially when he was, you know, locally here. So that started, it went to the extent of him requesting my AT&T like login so that he could see all of the numbers I was calling and texting. And yeah, and he would like, I guess there's this thing where you can look up a phone number and it'll tell you the caller ID on it. And if it was ever a man's name or number, which a lot of times it was because I was young and people's dads were paying for their phone bills. So there would be like, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But he would like, who is so-and-so? And it would be like, that's my best friend's dad or something like that. So he kept doing this kind of controlling stuff for 2 months. Like, I mean, just hounding me all the time. He came up and stayed with me for the weekend, and diagonal from my house, there was a 7-Eleven gas station, and I was in the house. And then all of a sudden he had went outside, but then he'd been gone for like 45 minutes. And I was like, where did he go? Well, I go outside and his truck's gone. And so I try to call him. He doesn't answer. I just happened to like look kind of diagonal across the street, and I see his truck's parked over there at the 7-Eleven, but like not at a gas pump, not at the front of the store, like off to the end of the parking lot. And so I'm like,
what
is he doing at 7-Eleven? And so I kind of watch him for probably 10 minutes. The truck doesn't move. Nobody comes up to the truck, nothing. Cause I was like, maybe he's meeting somebody. He didn't. So eventually I go over there and park like 2 cars down from him. And so he doesn't see me pull up or anything. Well, then I get out and walk over to his driver's side window of his truck and knock on it and totally catch him off guard. He's on the phone and immediately just hangs up the phone and like puts the phone down.
What an idiot to be like, I need to go hide. Let me go right across the street.
For sure. Like, here you
are. What
the
heck?
Right here.
Yeah. Not too good on his part. So I immediately, he rolls down the window and I ask him, I'm like, what are you doing? And he was like, I was on the phone with my mom. And to this point, I had not been confrontational with him at all. Like, I didn't object to anything that he had ever said, even with him controlling. Like, I was like, here's my login to my phone. Here's this, here's that. I was always very passive when it came to him. Well, at this point, I was like, show me that you were talking to your mom. And he was like, why are you being like this? Like, I haven't given you any reason not to trust me, and like kind of flipped the script again on me. And again, I don't know if it was because of the age gap, but I folded so easy to him. And so when he said that, I was like, you're right. I was like, it's fine. I'm sorry. And I apologized, which looking back totally is nonsense.
The amount of listeners who are going to be like, oh, I've been there. Like, you are so not alone. I know it feels like I was such an idiot. It's like, no, it's so easy to just get gaslit. That's what it is.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the 7-Eleven thing happens. He is there for the remainder of that weekend. After the weekend is over, he goes back to Texas where he's working at the time. And the controlling stuff with him just continues, him constantly just wanting to know my whereabouts. If I was over at my parents' for 2-3 hours in the evening or something, he would find an issue with that, accuse me of not being there. Obviously, the whole location thing was not a thing 14 years ago. So it's not like I could prove to him that I was at my parents' house with a GPS or anything. So I would just be like, I promise you, like, I'm here. I'm not doing anything. I'm not cheating on you. And I kept chalking it up to, he's just so worried he's going to lose me. So he's trying to like keep his thumb on me. And that's what I continued to chalk up the controllingness to, is that he was just so into me, you know, and everything in me, like,
you just thought he really, really liked you and was really concerned of losing you.
And
maybe
he's anxious about it. And
he would always make comments about, you're so young and you could have all these options and you're just, you know, you don't have responsibilities and this, that, and the other. And he would just constantly make me feel bad and use the age thing. And if I was ever to go out in group settings, he would make me feel bad about that. So eventually, like, I quit for the majority of that time, quit going out. I would just hang out with my close girlfriends, like they would come over to my house, stuff like that. So it got to the point to where it definitely isolated me just so that I can make him feel better. I was isolating myself from all my friends of opposite sex and same sex, even if they just had a boyfriend, because he would find issues with me just hanging out with guys in general.
That's part of what they do, is they try to isolate you.
Yeah, he definitely did. I was the type of person, especially in that stage of my life, to where I was always going and doing something and hanging out with friends or family. And looking back now, the dynamic that changed from when I first started dating him to this, like, around the year mark, I mean, I maybe talked to 2 or 3 people. But again, I was like, I could see myself marrying this guy. He was dropping the L word, everything. It definitely seemed like in my eyes then that he was my end goal. And at the time, I was willing to do and give up just about anything to make sure that I was keeping him happy. So I obviously quit going to bars. That was definitely a no-go. And that goes on for a while. But after the 7-Eleven thing, something shifted in me. I realized I didn't want to be controlled like this anymore. And I went to my best friend because I hadn't told her everything about what was going on because I was embarrassed and didn't want her to not like him. So I didn't really share. But after the 7-Eleven incident, I just started reliving that conversation and thinking that I don't want to be controlled to this extent. And my best friend at the time, she was very much like, Lila, you don't seem like the same. You don't seem happy like you used to. And you just don't ever want to go do anything. You just want to stay at the house. I vented to her about, well, Alex doesn't really like me going and doing that. You know, I started opening up to her about the frustrations of being controlled to that extent. And she's so headstrong still to this day. She was very much like, absolutely no, you are not completely changing your life for a man. Like, you have to wake up. This is not you at all. And
I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's still the MVP. That very much, I think, kind of like a light bulb went off with me. And I was like, what am I doing? So I started kind of going out occasionally if people would ask me to dinner or a weekend thing. And he definitely did not like that. That was a big issue. And so we started fighting more frequently. And it was one of those things where some nights I would just have to turn my phone off because he would just blow it up over and over and over again, or back-to-back texts, stuff like that. So after stewing on that for a while and realizing that our relationship was getting worse, not better, I told myself when he came back into town, I wanted to have an adult conversation with him and end things maturely, because I was like, he's older. I don't need to be immature about this and just text him and say it's over. So this is what I'm going to do. He still had stuff at my house. So I was like, I just want to give him his stuff back, us break up, and it be what it is.
At this point, how long had y'all been together? And like,
right at a year.
Were you over it? Okay, so you were together a year and you're like over it at this point. Like, you're like, I'm done. Like, this is stupid.
I was pretty checked out at that point. After the conversation with my friend, it was a wake-up call. I mean, I was head over heels for this guy, but I started reflecting at all the excuses I'd made for him and all the things I'd turned a blind eye to. I really thought he was the one. Like, I thought we were going to get married. So having that conversation and realizing this is not it was really hard. But I knew it's what I needed to do because I could not live this way with being controlled all the time like this. It wasn't the life that I wanted. And so it was one of those things to where I think one day I really just snapped out of it and was like, why am I living this way?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And it happens gradually. You're like, all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, wait, I'm fully like bending over backwards for somebody, but I don't know how I got here. I think it's so normal to have it go that way.
Yeah.
Shout out to my brother's girlfriend because she is incredibly fashionable. And she recently told me, Hannah, pants are out. Skirts are in. And I was like, okay, well, I'm still going to wear pants, but I want some cool, fashionable skirts if Raquel is telling me, because Raquel tells me to wear, I'm going to wear. Anyway, we love Raquel. So I love Quince because basically Quince is an online store where you get clothes that are luxury quality for unbeatable prices and just better prices. So I knew they had silk skirts and I got one and it is so cute and I love it. And the quality is unbelievable. I've also gotten a black like cashmere sweater, a Mongolian.
They have a 100... lot of good basics.
Yeah.
I like their basics.
The sweater was $50. It was 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater. And it was $50 and I love it. I wear it all the time. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So that's their
whole thing. I was about to say, because cashmere is usually a lot more expensive.
Yeah. It's a genius idea. They partner with top factories and they cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. So you get essentially the exact same product as you would be getting from a bigger label name, but just without the brand name, and you get the same thing. I'm obsessed. Have you shopped there? You have, right?
Yeah, I got a sweater, the cashmere sweater, and it's like a tan color. So it's a perfect neutral. It was really cute for winter, but of course I'm in Florida. So now I need some basics that aren't so hot. Like I'm going to see your silk skirt because I want one.
I will show you. It's black.
Oh, yeah, I want to see it. And another thing is that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which I really love.
It's like the first place I look now if I want something. And also, they don't just have clothes. I also got a really cute crossbody bag that I had been eyeing the same bag from a brand for a long time. And then I got the Quince one and I love it, wear it every day. So that's like, it's like a fanny pack type of thing, but I wear it crossbody.
And it was less expensive.
I love it.
Oh, and they have jewelry.
I need to get jewelry.
They have jewelry and like scrunchies. Yeah, they have a bunch of stuff. It's, you guys, you have to go check it out. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/TDD for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/TDD to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TDD.
So we're at the 12-month mark of our relationship and he comes back in for the weekend. I obviously didn't tell him I was preparing to break up with him. I was just like, hey, let's go to dinner. And I just wanted to talk over dinner and then let him, you know, come back to the house and get his stuff. And me thinking that it's going to go smoothly. We're eating dinner and I go into conversation about, I want to talk to you about something. I really don't feel like this is working for me. And I don't feel like either one of us are happy. Like you can't be happy trying to control me to the extent that you are. And I'm not happy with somebody trying to have their thumb on me 24/7. And I was like, I'm more distant from my family, which my family's so important to me. And that was a huge red flag to them. And then the relationships that were shifting with my friends because of the situation. And I was like, I'm not choosing anybody over you. I'm just choosing not to live this way anymore because
that's nice of you to say. Damn, that sounds, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, that was like a great script for breakup. That's,
yeah.
With him being gone, I had time to like work things over in my head so that I didn't, you know, act off of reaction. So I tell him that in the middle of dinner, he's like, I'll do better. I won't be so controlling. And then he kind of just like dismisses the conversation. Well,
like, oh, you never just said that. It's fine. Yeah, this is fine.
What?
Yeah. So we go through.
He's like, I had something in my ear. Oh my Lord.
What did you say? I couldn't hear you quite right.
Yeah.
So he goes through the rest of dinner. And again, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, are we broken up? Like I tried to break up with you. And so then at the end of dinner, I bring it back up. And at this point, he had had a couple of drinks and he dismisses it again. We end up going out after that because I was like, he's just like, I don't understand what he's not understanding. But we go out. He gets a little intoxicated and he changes.
No.
Yeah, he starts just confessing his love to me. Because I think a couple of times when we were out after dinner, I brought it up a couple more times and I was like, you know, Alex, really, I'm like, I can't do this. And once he got to that level of he was feeling pretty good on the drinks, he proceeded to tell me, I will do whatever you need me to do. And in the moment, he's sitting there and he's changing his Facebook profile picture to a picture of him and I. And I'm like,
what?
I remember looking
at
him.
So manipulative.
Yeah. He, like, just to pretend like that didn't just happen. Like, nope, that, nope, nope, we're not doing that.
And so the whole time we had been in a relationship, we did not have that we were in a relationship on Facebook. There was no pictures of us still. Like, now, on my end, there was pictures that I would post of, like, if we were going out and doing something. But he had restrictions set up for if you tagged him, he had to review it before it would show up on his page. So,
And nothing
and he would
show
never
up.
Tag okay. anything on his page. So
was he active on Facebook or not super active?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, that
so
was...
That's
wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was a red flag collector.
We see you, sir. We see you.
But it was early stages, you know, still getting the social media feed under us.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 But now we know better. Okay. Okay. So he makes you his profile
picture.
He
makes me his profile
and like,
picture.
Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there looking at him as we're out drinking and I'm like, that's not the problem. Like me not being on your Facebook was not the problem. And he was like, but no, I'll work on the other stuff. But like, I'm telling you, like, you're the only person I want. We're going to make this work, all this. And went down a total rabbit hole with that. We end up going back to my house and I wake up the next day to a handful of messages on my Facebook Messenger. And he was asleep in my bed at this moment. Okay. And I open the first one and all it says is, are you dating Alex with his last name?
Oh my God. Was the person named Babe? No, just kidding.
And so I open that message and I read it and I responded to her even. And I said, yes, I've been dating him for right out a year. And I said, I think I said like, who are you? And she responds with pictures, screenshot text messages.
The receipts.
The receipts. The pictures of his clothes in drawers at her house.
Oh!
And the reason I know they were his clothes is because his work logo were on hats that she had in his... And it was clothes that I had seen, too, that he had had when he was with me.
Oh my gosh, so what's their story? What does she tell you about their relationship?
He lived with her. And I'm yeah.
What?
They had lived together. They had been together for 2 years at that point. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Wait, and how long had y'all been together?
A year.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And you met his mama?
I met his mama.
Wait, what did the mama? The mama wasn't like, something's wrong.
The mom didn't say anything. And when I had connected.
She a hoe? Yeah, wait, you didn't blame her? Hold on. She better not have known anything.
We're going back to blame the mom.
Mad at mom, too.
Because she did the, Cassie was her name. She had a relationship with his mother as well. So his mother knew to come find out once I was talking
to
her.
You are a generous, forgiving person, and I admire you and do not have your strength.
She's just out here supporting her son all willy-nilly, putting his willy-nilly in all kinds of places. And no, that's right.
Oh,
she
my
wrong
God.
For that. She knows. She knows.
If Ryan came home with two girls, Mackenzie would,
I would be like, I would whoop my son's ass right there in the middle in front of God and everybody, in front of his girlfriends and their mamas.
Okay, wait. So this girl DMs you.
Okay.
Sends you the receipts. They're living together.
Yes.
What is going through your brain and what else do you find out?
I message her back and I send her a picture of him in my bed. And yes. And I respond.
What?
Yeah. And I wasn't
like, come get your man. Is this your trash? You left your trash in my bed.
And I wasn't trying to be like vindictive or anything. Like I wasn't trying to hurt her, but I was like, listen, we have a problem because here he is in my bed. And obviously I see that he's been in your bed quite frequently. I told her we'd been together for a year. He had met my family. I had met his mother. She knew his mother by name, obviously said things about that in the messages, had definite documentation that they were together. They were on the same phone plan. The phone...
Is that how she found out about you?
No, she found out about me because Facebook of the profile. Facebook. So he had two phones. The one that was in the backpack that was on her phone plan that rang that one time. And then the one that he had...
That one was on her... Okay, I was confused. Okay.
And so she didn't know about the phone that I knew about that was the way he was communicating with me. And I didn't know.
You were like the burner phone.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah. So she messaged me and caught him in this because he changed his profile picture and she was not the only one who saw it. So I had a handful of messages from a bunch of different girls asking the same question about if I'm dating Alex. And I opened the other DMs, but I didn't respond to them because in that moment, I was like, IMSA's going to have to come get me because I can feel my blood pressure just going off the charts. Ooh. And so I read those other girls' messages.
What'd they say?
So it was Chelsea, Jane, Allie, and Vicky. And then Cassie was the first one I talked to.
Oh my God. This is like a little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Eric. He's got like that roster. I need to hear all the, because it sounds like they weren't just flings. Like he was dating all of these people?
So Chelsea, he was with for right around 6 months, she had said. And then Jane, she had children. She had sent me
with him?
No, not with him. But the
praise
dad,
the Lamb, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. The dad wasn't in the picture. She had pictures of Alex with her children and like they had
no.
Yeah, he had a relationship with her children as well. Yeah.
Heartbreaking. That's messed up.
Yeah. So the shortest term relationship of the women that reached out to me was 6 months, and that was Chelsea. But then the other ones were all a year plus. The last one, Vicky, she was from his hometown, and they had been on and off again for 6 years, she had said. And they were on at this time and had been on for about a year and a half.
So you went to the hometown and played softball while he was dating this other girl in the hometown and nobody said
a word.
Diddly squat?
Nobody said a word to me.
What is happening?
What?
Yeah. And
it's like La La Land. This is freaking the Twilight Zone.
It was very like, to look back once I was just reading these messages and like finding out the stuff, it was just kind of like a gut punch that I had been like, I mean, you literally feel you've been made a fool and like, everything for the last year of your life was a complete lie. And the fact that this man was still asleep in my bed was everything in me wanted to just like burn the house down, but that's a felony. So I wasn't going to do that.
And she would never do that.
She would not do that.
Nice.
I would never do that.
We want to take a moment to talk about something a little bit sexier. We want to talk about Dipsy, one of our very favorite apps and something that I've loved long before this podcast. And I'm so excited that I get to do this ad, honestly. So Dipsy is an app that's full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories. It's designed by women for women. And I really think it is amazing, especially if you're somebody who maybe feels uncomfortable about this topic or feels like getting in touch with your sexuality or just your own pleasure is a little bit taboo or something that maybe you haven't spent as much time on, I recommend Dipsy so, so genuinely and highly. I think it's such a great step in your own journey to pleasure.
I love the idea of empowering women to feel comfortable with themselves. And I feel like this is a great way for women to do that in a way that's just private. There's so many different genres of sexiness, and you can kind of explore them and it can be totally private. And it's just a growing library of anything you can think of, like the vampires, Greek gods, fairy smut, like anything.
You like accents? You can choose your accent. Yes. I love the idea.
Like the GPS can change the accent.
Yes!
You can do it on the Dipsy too. And I just love the idea of empowering women to just kind of, I don't know, get in, feel
learn
your
about
own
yourself.
Pleasure and kind of explore that. And they even have the soothing sleep stories and wellness sessions.
We talk a lot about the stories. The stories are fantastic. I love them. But they have guided self-touch audios and like erotic breath work, relaxing breath work. It's not all erotic. They have ways for you to connect with a partner, like a 36 question series, and they have educational things. Like I'm scrolling right now, BDSM basics, texting basics, the love languages. How great is that? It's a resource that I wish I had sooner.
The love languages is huge too.
Yeah. And also there's no shame. There's no anything in learning about yourself and enjoying pleasure, especially as women or people who aren't men. Like we deserve pleasure and oftentimes are subconsciously told that we're not. So I love that Dipsy targets that.
Even if you're a dude, like men and women can really enjoy this, you know, together, separately. So this isn't just for women. If a dude wants to,
I listen with John. I don't care. He wouldn't care if I shared. We love it. John loves it. Shout out. Anyway, we love it. Dipsy's awesome. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy's offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/TDD. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/TDD. dipsystories.com/TDD. Enjoy. To go back, I was like hung up on the fact that this is not only like a bomb going off for you, but also the, what, six other women are all discovering this at the same time. And yet you're the one that's finding it out with him in your home.
Yes.
What a role to play in the lives of so many people who you did not even know you were connected to.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys should have gone out to dinner.
Right. And everything in me, like in that moment, I knew that I had to just get him out of my house. That was my ultimate goal because I was like, I'm clearly not thinking right. So I don't need to make any decisions as far as like, you know, telling him, hey, all these women messaged me, anything like that. So I had told the one that I was speaking with, the one that I was going back and forth with messaging, I told her that I wasn't going to confront him. I said, he's in my house. I don't know how he's going to react because I've never been in the situation to where I've had this kind of confrontation with someone and it just been him and I. And he had never been aggressive towards me, but I'd seen him in situations to where he had kind of a short fuse with people, whether it be like people that he worked with or if we were out and he was like in his jealous stage. So I didn't want to risk, you know, putting myself in danger if he decided that I ran my mouth too much or something. So I decide to tell her that I'm not going to say anything to him. I said, if you want to say anything, I was like, that's totally fine. Obviously, I can't control what you tell him. I was like, but I'm just going to get him out of my house. And so he wakes up. I cooked him breakfast. Because I was like, everything in me, I have to make it seem like I don't know anything. So cooking breakfast, sit there and have breakfast with him. And I just remember being so like just angry to the core. I could barely like look at him. But I was trying so hard to act normal. So he's leaving that day for work anyways. Like that was scheduled planned. So I knew that if I tried to rush him out of the house or if I tried to do anything outside of my normal of being so passive and everything, that he would know something was up. So while we're at breakfast, he changes his profile picture back to him and his dad that had passed away. And that was his profile picture the whole time I knew him. So,
and did he say anything about the breakup and the, or he just did it silently on his phone?
So I noticed that he did that because I had looked at Facebook like probably 30, 45 minutes later and saw that he changed it back. And I think I made the comment like, well, that didn't last long or something. And he goes into, well, you told me that that wasn't important to you. And I just like to have that picture to remember my dad and this, that, and the other. So again, like trying to, and in the moment I was not accepting any like red flags. So in my head, I knew.
She said in the moment, I was not accepting any red flags. I have felt that.
You were not open to them.
If you have felt that, let me get an amen.
Amen.
I'm not accepting red flags. Everything's fine.
No.
And so I knew that he was completely bullshitting me. I knew that he probably had messages from those other girls, like, who the hell is Lila? All this stuff. I knew that was probably going on his end. So he leaves to go to work that day. We're together. I told him that I was willing to like work on things with him, the whole shebang. He continued to apologize. He, in the moment, said that he was so appreciative for me, like willing to work things out with him and everything. So that happens. I get him out of my house and it was immediately like 10,000 pounds just like left my body. I immediately call my best friend. She comes over. And I tell her everything, every red flag that I had ignored, everything that today, if it happened, I would immediately call her and be like, but you're not going to believe what so-and-so is trying to get me to believe. But back then I was like embarrassed because I was like, no, he's telling me the truth. And all I wanted to do, my only thing on my radar was to make him happy. And so I had hid mm-hmm. so many things from even my best friend. And so she comes over and I'm telling her everything. I'm telling her about the phone. I'm telling her about the 7-Eleven. I'm telling her about his mom, everything that now had come to light that had been a huge lie that I had just overlooked and believed what he said in the moment. I remember she looked at me and she was like, Lila, you cannot let him just get away with this. He has done not only you dirty, but so many other people. And she was like, if you just break up with him while he's gone and don't do anything about it, she was like, he's going to go and do it to 10 other girls in every town that he goes to.
She's like, this is a public service now.
Yes.
And so we had kind of brainstormed and we were like, okay, yeah, let's get all these women together and surprise him for dinner or something. And his birthday was
wait,
like,
oh my God.
We didn't do that.
Were you dying when I, oh.
But
I thought you were, and I was gonna say, I said get dinner.
We were brainstorming at like what we could do to where it wouldn't be like a big, huge deal to plan, but that it would be something that would like make him think, damn, I probably need to quit hurting women. So it's about 2 weeks that we're going just like brains, like popping ideas off of each other, trying to like come up with this plan. Because I knew getting that many women together, we couldn't do the dinner thing, right? Because that many women would be logistically a lot to plan.
We've all tried to plan a bachelorette.
Yeah. And his birthday was between a month and a half and 2 months away from this time. And so she was like, well, what if you like surprised him on a trip and rented a cabin or something and just left him there? And I was like, that's genius. But then I started thinking, I was like, I'm broke. So I don't really
want to spend money
on this
man.
And then also I was like, girl, what if one of these other women just forgive him and then they just show up and have a vacation on me, you know? So I was like, I don't really want to do that. And I was like, but that's a great idea to just leave him somewhere. So I continue to go through these plans with her. We're just like texting and talking shit the whole time I was like, the only time I have to see him in this 2 month time span between now and his birthday is one weekend. That's the only time he was coming back to my hometown. And so I was like, I can do that. I can pretend to be on my period and that's why I won't sleep with him or this, that, and the other. I can pretend to be sick so I can be with him, but not have to be sexual with him.
My goodness.
That's when we just deep dive. I start looking at Google Maps and I'm trying to like find a location to where I can tell him we're going. And I do. And it's on the outskirts, like about 2 hours away from my hometown. And it's this place to where there's a whole bunch of like cabins and mountains and stuff. And so I was like, that's where I'll tell him that I'm taking him. And so I start looking on the map and I'm trying to find somewhere that is a very rural area with nothing around it. And she's like, what are you thinking? And I'm like, I'm thinking I'm going to leave him in the middle of nowhere, not
like in the middle of a field.
In the middle. Well, I was trying to find somewhere that had a
bees. Bees. Get out of the car, on Tommy boy. And they're like in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, oh my God.
So I'm telling her, I looked at the locations on Facebook of all the other women who messaged me, and three of them were within an hour and a half to 2 hours of this location that I was looking at. Right. So, and the other ones were over 2 hours away, but this location was within 2 hours of his hometown. It was within the radius of those women. And so we spend 2 weeks planning all the logistics of this. And I find this little like Andy Griffith looking gas station on Google Maps.
Oh, Barney Fife!
And there's nothing.
She's the deputy of this town.
There's nothing within like 40 miles on either side of this gas station.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yes. And so I had this plan just lined out. I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to plan this trip. I'm going to tell him, hey, is there any way you can be here on your birthday? I want to do something special for you, this, that, and the other. He was legitimately, and I could tell it was like genuine. He was so excited. He was like, nobody's.
Oh, bless it.
He was like, better. Yeah. He was like, nobody's ever planned anything for my birthday. And he was even like, are you sure you have the money to do it? Like, if you need me to pay for a little bit, I will. And I was like, absolutely not.
Bitch, I will go broke for this opportunity.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the whole time I'm texting him, like, everything's great in our relationship, right? I'm assuming he either thought that I didn't believe those girls or either they didn't tell them that they had reached out to me. Because he was still fully involved in our relationship as well. So he comes back for the one time that I had to see him in that 2 month time frame before the trip. He comes back and I have this horrible stomach bug, right? It was just, right. I was sick. I had to lay in bed all weekend, this, that, and the other.
Sure. What a shame.
Yes. It just happened to fall on that weekend that he was coming. So he's, again, at my house being taken care of me. He even made me soup one day. Very good weekend as far as I wasn't really sick, but I was pretending to be sick just so that I didn't have to do anything. Because at that point, I knew the one thing I wasn't doing was having sex with somebody that was out having sex with 5 other women.
Which is disgusting. Yeah, because
ew, that's ew.
Yeah, very ew. So we have that weekend and he's leaving and he's like, I told him, I was like, hey, I've got the place that I rented for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll head home Sunday. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So the day finally comes. We're going on the trip. I had picked him up. So we were in my car. He threw his duffel bags in the back seat and we head out on this wonderful romantic birthday trip that I had planned for him.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy.
I wasn't super familiar with this part of the state because, again, I just didn't go down there very much, but I had studied it on Google Maps. I knew what town I needed to be ready to start looking for this gas station. And my plan the whole time was to just drop him off. He would have his phone because when I tell you this man never left his phone unattended, he never left his phone unattended. He didn't even sleep with his phone on the nightstand. He would turn it off and put it in his bag the whole entire time that we were together. And I always, I asked him about that numerous times and he would say, babe, work is just so crazy. Like I have to disconnect and that's the only way I can disconnect. So it was like excuses like that, that again, I fell for the whole time. And it was like a wake up call once I started connecting all the dots. So I knew that he was going to have his phone with him. And my thinking was, I'm just going to inconvenience him a little bit to drop him off in the middle of nowhere. It's going to take somebody over an hour to come get him. But it's not that big of a deal, right? It's like waiting on an Uber now. So yeah. So I'm on the phone. We're an hour and a half from my house and I'm on the phone with my mom and I see the exit that I knew I had to look for. And so I keep driving past that and I realize, okay, it's within 40 miles. It's coming up. And so we get there and I'm on the phone with my mom and I said, hey, I'm going to have to call you back. And then I kind of turned to him while I'm still on the phone with my mom. And I said, hey, will you run in this gas station and get me a snack and a drink, please? And he was like, absolutely. So we pull in. And my mom's super hard to get off the phone. She's just, you have to go through the whole thing with her. She's like, well, where you at? Call me when you get there, this, that, and the other. So still on the phone with my mom. And he gets out of the car. He had his wallet in the front cup holder and his phone in the second cup holder behind it. He grabs his wallet and goes into the gas station. I looked down and I was like, this did not just happen. And I was like, mom, I'm going to have to call you back.
And Yahtzee. Okay, go.
So I hang up the phone with my mom and I'm like, holy shit, he left his phone. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm too nice to leave this man with no phone. I know he probably doesn't know anybody's phone number, this, that, and the other. We are literally in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, everything that he had done just started like going through like a Rolodex in my brain. And I popped that thing in reverse because it's like, and I was like,
oh no,
I was like, I can do this. And so the minute that he turned down the aisle in the gas station and I couldn't see him anymore, I popped it in reverse and sped off back in the direction home. I take off and I head back home because I never rented the house. I never did any of that. My intention was, I told him that I did, but I never did any of that. And so it was weird because in that moment when I drove off, it was like, there was a feeling of like heartbreak, but also like relief, like, yeah, I got him, you know? So it was one of those things to where I didn't really know how to react because I was upset, but yet I was so like gratified that I was able to actually do it. But the whole,
I can see that, yeah, though.
The whole time I was having to talk myself out of turning around. And so I immediately call my best friend and I'm like, bitch, I just left him at a gas station. Like I said, I said, but you're not going to believe this. He left his phone in the car.
Is it unlocked? Can you get into his phone?
So I didn't even try. I think that I was so checked out at that point and I knew what he had been doing. And I think it was what hurt the most is that I had seen things of him saying to these other women what he had said to me for a year. And it was like just kind of the wake up call that everything that existed was completely fake, I felt, because it's like he just had a recording. The same things that I was hearing are what that woman that I was talking to would say that he would say to her. And
that's horrible.
Yeah. And so I'm on the phone with my best friend and she's like, Lila, you did the right thing. Like, he deserves this. And kept just like reassuring me that he deserved what he was getting and this, that, and the other. And she was like, and actually, while you're at it, throw his phone and his bags out. And I look in the back seat and there's his duffel bags. And I'm like, I can't do that. And she was like, yes, you can. And I was like, you're right. Yeah, I can. I roll down the window while I'm on the phone with her and we're just talking shit. And I toss his phone out first.
Like, bye.
And then I go about like 5 miles and then I stop and pull over, open the back door, empty all his duffel bags onto the side of the road and drive home and never spoke to him again until 8 years later after I had gotten married and divorced. Once I go back to my maiden name on Facebook, he sends me a message saying that he's in Oklahoma City and would love to hang out.
Ah!
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get revenge. Don't trust that fella.
I was like, you're not leaving me at a gas station.
Hell no.
Yeah. So you don't know how he got home. You don't know what happened with the other girls.
No, but I
you
do
left
know.
Him in the rearview mirror.
I left him in the rearview mirror and never, I blocked his number that day and literally never looked back. He never showed up at my house. I think that he knew that he had screwed up.
Because he knew what he did.
He should just be gone. Yeah. And
because you're like, next time it's going to be another country.
Right.
And I'm taking the passport.
And your mama. And you're going to go with your mama. So, Lila, after you left homeboy at the gas station and you was like, peace, like, toodaloo, motherfucker, like, whatever. Like, how were you feeling after that? Like right away? And then over the next couple days and weeks and months, like, how did your feelings evolve after that?
So, that day was super hard because it was so many mixed emotions of like, yeah, he deserved that. I, you know, feel like a badass, this, that, and the other. And then the other side of me was like, this guy that I've just fed into for a year just totally broke my heart and shattered it. And nothing that he said ended up being true. So it was, that day was extremely rough. I think half the ride home after I got off the phone with my best friend, I think I cried the second half. Aww. So yeah, it was one of those things that was definitely a tough day. And the weeks and months after that, it was one of those things to where I was totally closed off from everybody. I went into like kind of this funk to where I wasn't wanting to go out and do anything. I wasn't wanting to really be around family because at that point I knew since I wasn't with him, people were going to start asking questions and I wasn't in the place to where I wanted to talk about it because A, I was heartbroken. B, I was embarrassed because nobody wants, you know, it's one thing to get cheated on. It's another thing to get cheated on with 5 other women.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. And so that.
How did he have the time?
Yeah. And also, if anybody ever tells you they don't have time for you, that is a lie because he had a full-time job, 5 girlfriends.
For real.
And fully fed into
they
me.
They will make time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they want to, they will. So it took me 2 years that I did not date at all. I did not go on casual dates. I was out of college, so I was working my first like real job. And I just concentrated on myself, went out with friends, that kind of thing. I was just so closed off that I did not trust anybody. And so
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
And so I definitely didn't want to even subject myself to going through that again. Well, then 2 years goes by and I'm like, I'm in my like almost mid-20s. I have to like open myself back up again. Like I want to have kids by the time I'm 30, had this whole plan. And so then I open myself back up. And then that's when I get introduced from a mutual friend to my, at the time, would be my husband, I ended up marrying a man that was a lot like him. You think that when you go through that and then you kind of consider yourself healed, you would not go for the same type of man. I was falling for the same lies, the same things. I let myself get into such a bad place as far as just being depressed, unhappy. And I was just trying to, on the outside, look so happy to everybody. And, you know, my marriage mm-hmm. was great and this, that, and the other, when really behind closed doors, it was miserable. But I also come from a family that you get married and you stay married. And, you know,
that, and you mentioned mm-hmm. your parents had a great yep. marriage yeah. and were just trying to make it work. Mm-hmm.
And so it was one thing to break up with him. It was another thing to get a divorce. And I had finally got to the point one day to where I was just like, I deserve more than this. Like, God,
hell yes. Yeah.
I was like, God will forgive me. My parents will forgive me. I've got to do more for myself.
I was curious if the energy that got you to get out of the first relationship, obviously that was like, it blew up because you found out about the other women, but like your friend kind of telling you, you know, you can leave him at a gas station, even though you're like, mm-hmm. no, I can't. You can throw his phone out the window. No, I can't. I feel like there's something that happens when you do something for the first time that you didn't think you could do, when it's like selfish or bad mm-hmm. or just for yourself, that I don't know. I'm like curious how that affected you. And it's not an overnight thing. Obviously, it's not like you necessarily recognize it happening in the moment, but the divorce sounds like it kind of hits in the same category where it's like, you didn't think you were even allowed to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely the first time I'd ever done anything, because I have always been a very passive, a very nice person. And so that was probably the first like borderline, like kind of vindictive thing I'd ever done. It was one of those things to where it just, you get your power back and you don't realize how mm-hmm. weak you are when you don't
have
it.
That's what you did.
You empower yourself.
Yes.
That's exactly yeah. what you did.
And so I'm so grateful for, and I know it sounds crazy because like who would be grateful to go through cheating and all that. And it's like, I really am grateful because now I'm in a relationship to where if I'm uncomfortable with something or if I'm questioning something, like I say it to him and he has no problem like, no, absolutely not. Like your thoughts are validated. This is what's happening, you know, that and the other. So I stand up for myself and I'm with a man that isn't doing anything wrong. So he's not, he's not like repelled.
Yeah.
From that.
He respects you and recognizes that you respect yourself. So he's open to it. That's what everyone deserves. Also in terms of what you did, like, somebody might be mad at me for saying this, but I support women's rights and women's wrongs. So do you, girl, leave him behind. I love that you threw his stuff out the window. I really do. Which for entertainment purposes only.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I think there will be some people that are like, that's still not the right thing to do. And it's not.
Sure.
But I mean, two wrongs don't make a right, but they sure as hell make us feel better. And if that's what we need to do in the moment, then.
And that's the thing. I'm looking at it less than like what you did to him. And I'm looking at it as what you did for yourself.
Yeah.
And you didn't hurt anybody. Yes.
I'm also
which is
a firm
important.
Believer that the reason he didn't reach out or retaliate or anything is because he knew that he. It was his actions that got that.
He knew what he did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he went crying to mom. I bet that's the only number he knew. And he went in the gas station. He was crying. He was like, mommy, can you come pick me up?
And mommy's like,
one of my seven girlfriends.
Here I come. I'm coming right now to get you.
The girlies are mean. They're so lucky that they have even one day with you, baby. That
I will never be like that with Ryan. Like, no.
Also, your friend, shout out to your best friend.
Oh, yeah. We're still best friends today, and she's the best.
It's like, you got to have them.
Yeah.
The isolation element is real. You need a person like that. Somebody in your life to help you. Because you are not a weak person. You're a strong, smart, wonderful person. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need somebody to shake us a little bit.
I definitely did. So this year I decided, I'd kind of February 14th of 2023, I took a year. I was 2 years post-divorce, no kids, nothing like that. Had a really bad marriage. And I took this last year to like completely work on myself. I lost a ton of weight. I started prioritizing myself. I went on trips that I said yes to everything. I told myself that it was going to be a yes year. And so I did.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was definitely, I recommend it to everybody. And so throughout that year, I decided if I want to say something, I'm going to say something. If I want to do something, I'm going to do it. And so,
yeah.
And so about, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to tell this story because I think it's funny.
So you posted it.
Yes. So I posted it and it just like blew up. I think like close to 2 million views and then like thousands and thousands of comments. And prior to this, I had only posted like funny things on TikToks, like just nothing serious, nothing. And in the moment, I thought that this was funny and that people would just laugh at it maybe. So I post that and it got almost 2 million views. And so I get this message on TikTok. And so it's user and it's just a whole bunch of numbers. So and there's not even a name under the user. So it says, so strange occurrence, your cheating story popped up on my For You page. I'm the one from, and she said her town, that Alex was cheating on. I realized that about the third reel. Glad to see you are doing so well. Once I realized he was cheating after I spoke with you, I donated everything he had at my house to Goodwill. So I guess I'm a criminal too. She said he did not contact me after being left at the store by you, but has tried via Instagram in the past. And his mom came to my house a couple of times to try to tell me how I was wrong for changing the locks and keeping his things.
His mama can go to hell.
Yeah, what is that? I can't with his mom, but that is, wow, he lost everything.
Yeah.
So you guys, he better have learned his lesson. He might be a hopeless case at this point, but like, you did everything you could. Wait, I'm obsessed with that DM.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Wow.
It's amazing that y'all thought about coordinating with the other women and didn't do it, but then you were kind of on the same page anyway.
And yeah, absolutely.
The same kind of thing.
I haven't messaged her back, but I definitely am going to respond to her because I think it's just badass that she did that as well. But also,
can she be our part two for the podcast? Let's call her.
I know. I want to talk to her.
Absolutely.
That would be so cool, dude.
Oh yeah. My God. The other side of the gas station. Yeah, I would love to talk to her. This is developing.
I'm glad you told your story because I think the biggest thing for me is a lot of people that tell their stories on our podcast, they say, I felt so stupid. I felt so dumb. And we want to make it clear that this is not a stupid or a dumb thing. This has nothing to do with your intelligence. These people have done this to you because they're freaking good at it and it's not right. And it has nothing to do with how smart you are. And so it's important that other people feel like not so alone. So thank you for sharing your story. We're so glad you came on to share.
Thank you guys. I appreciate you having me.
You're awesome.
It was so nice to meet you. You'll have to give us updates.
I want to hang out.
How you're doing. And we can.
Yes.
Let's talk about maybe getting a homegirl on the podcast.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
She can share her side too.
Right.
I will message her tonight.
Yeah, oh message God. Her and see if she wants to come chat.
Woo!
Well, that was a doozy.
That was another country song of a story. We had Pantygate with the black truck, and now we've got leaving him in the rearview mirror at a gas station, throw his bag on the street and say, sayonara. I'm not a lyricist.
I'm not sure. Okay, so the throwing the stuff out like and taking off, I don't know how I feel about that, right? Like, so,
yeah,
like
let's discuss like, both sides.
Well, I feel like two wrongs don't make a right. Just because someone hurts you doesn't mean you hurt them back. Like that's not, I mean, that's what a lot of people want to do.
So
but
true.
Also like, I kind of understand like why, like you're like, screw you. Like this is, you know, this is happening. So I don't feel bad for the guy, but also go
ahead,
girl. As long
as nobody's getting like seriously hurt or hurt at all. The thing that stood out to me is like, yes. Did she do something that was, I don't know, not good for him? Sure. But like, like I said to her, the first time you do something that is entirely for yourself and maybe does make you have to apologize for something or be a little selfish or prioritize yourself over other people, that is like a freeing moment in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm not condoning hurting anybody, but I feel like as she drove away, it was like an example of like, oh, I could do something that I didn't think I could do and stand up for myself in a way I didn't think I could stand up for. Also, again, she was 21 and her friend was like, bitch, kill that guy. Like, her friend was ready to like go burn his house down. So I'm glad that they kept it very nonviolent and very.
Yeah. And I just, to be honest, I get it. I just feel like, I don't know, they'll get theirs. Like, I feel like karma is
true.
Karma's a bitch and the universe always comes around. But I do feel like sometimes it just feels good to get it back. You know what I mean? But for me personally, my mom always just taught me like, they'll get theirs. You might not be there to see it, but they'll get theirs. But sometimes doing it just feels so good.
Oh, but it also is like, there is a limit to what we can control. Like, she could do that and we don't know that he didn't go keep cheating, you know, even though there's the idea of we want him to know he did something wrong so he doesn't do it to other women. It's like, you at some point have to work on yourself to move past it, but you can't change that person. And there's an element of it that's like, if you're doing it to try to change him, then it's like,
forget it. Yeah, we're not God. We're not the jury. Like, we're not the judge. Like, that's it. But at the end of the day, like, I totally get it. And good for her. Like,
it was pretty funny.
I'm not going to come arrest you. I'm not going to do like it. Whatever. Like, but I'm going to sit here and be like, good for you.
I'm sure she wouldn't do it today, but I hope she feels empowered by the choices she has made. It sounds like I'm like doing everything in my power not to be like, do that to every man who wrongs you. I know that we shouldn't, but it's so tempting.
But like the age difference made a big impact too. She was very young. You know, there was like a 10-year difference. And so when you're 21 and 31, that age gap is big. But when you're like 31 and 41, it doesn't seem as big.
She kept saying, I didn't know what a real relationship or a healthy relationship looked like other than her parents, which that is an important model. Until you've been in relationships, you don't know what you want or how you want to be treated. You just can't. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But I agree that it's a red flag. I'm sure people will be like, I have a relationship that started with the big age gap. And I'm not saying that those relationships always fail, but I do think it's important to stop and think about them if that's the relationship you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, of course. But some people do. It does work.
Why would a man 10 years, 20 years older than you want to date a 21-year-old for reasons that are like not kind of gross? The only reasons I can think of are them being like, I like young, inexperienced women that I can have sex with and manipulate. You know, like it's not.
I imagine sometimes that's the case.
I wouldn't have been very fun to date when I was 21. I didn't know anything. Like, but I'd be easy to manipulate.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I want to hear what our listeners have to say about what you would have done in those situations. Like, do you agree with her? Are you proud of her? Or do you feel like she didn't do the right thing? Or what are your thoughts on it? Just share it with us. And just so you know, like, there's no bashing this person for what they've done if you don't agree. And there's no like, yeah, we incur, like, no one's condoning this behavior. But at the same time, she did it. And she, listen, like I said,
and
I ain't
look at what he did. Look at what he did.
Do what you got to do, girl. But I'm curious to know what everybody thinks of it. And the age gap too.
Two other things I want to touch on. One, that mama needs to really look in the mirror. Because
what in the hell?
What are you teaching your son?
Yeah.
That was disgusting. And another red flag I thought of talking about when she was talking about how he would be very controlling of her and then say that it was a result of his insecurity. And the reason I wanted to talk about that.
Like, I want to look at your phone bill because I'm just insecure.
I'm nervous that you're cheating or like, I don't want to lose you. Yeah. And like,
that's something he needs to work on.
Well, right. That's the thing. I think the reason I wrote it down is because I've like experienced that where I've been, and I know you've talked about it too, where we both needed reassurance to trust partners out of insecurity. And to obviously, it's our responsibility to do that in a way that is respectful of their boundaries. But also, there's a difference between genuine insecurity leading to needing boundaries and reassurance versus insecurity being an excuse for control. And that line is tricky. Like, I'm sure there are people that are listening that are like, I wanted to see my partner's phone and I wasn't cheating on them. I was genuinely insecure. And it's like, am I controlling? Is that a red flag? Are they going to think I'm cheating? I don't know. I just spiraled when she said that.
No, but I get the concern though, if you're using or pretending to use insecurity to look at their phone bill when really you're just using it for control. Like, there's, you know, I see both sides.
It's weaponizing that.
Yes,
yeah, I think that's maybe why it triggered me is that I was like, hey, I'm actually insecure. Don't make it a weapon because then people won't believe me when I'm insecure. You know what I mean? And that happened with the autism, the freaking Bitcoin boyfriend saying he had autism so he couldn't lie, weaponize that. Ugh. It's like people use anything and everything to get away with their shit.
So, well, let's keep the conversation going. You guys, you have to tell us what your thoughts are because we're dying to know. And, oh, Hannah, you guys, okay. Hannah, you have to share this. So our producer, Molly, has come up with something and Hannah, share it.
So yes, our producer, Molly, who at this point you all should know and love. And if you're new, Molly is the brains and heart and glue behind so much of this podcast, but she has an amazing idea for another project, another podcast that we want to tell you about because it's early stages and we want to see what y'all think of the idea because you would be the audience that would like this. If you like this, you'll probably like that. And also we want to see if anybody has potential stories to share. So the idea behind it is similar to Dating Detectives, but medical, and it would be hosted by a doctor and it would be about stories like medical mystery diagnoses, malpractice, or medical scams, and kind of the same thing that we do, where it's like giving people the chance to tell their own story in a way that is helping people learn and also connect.
So you guys have seen the series on like Netflix, and they talk about like dirty doctors and all that.
Doctor with the spinal guy.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different scenarios in this. Mystery diagnosis, misdiagnosis, medical stories like that. Labor stories, I imagine, will be really big. Like
a lot of women, obviously, this happens to probably more frequently. Not only women, by no means, but I'm excited to hopefully shed light on important stories.
Botched plastic surgeries. Like, I want to hear what happens. Like, if a plastic surgery is botched, and then like, what do you do? And like, what does the doctor say? Like, how do you say, I guess I fucked that up pretty good. Like, what does the doctor say?
Like Groupon medical practice scams. I'm sure there's a Groupon plastic surgery scam out there that we need to know about.
Oh my God, there's got to be something. But yeah, so if that sounds like something you guys are interested in, you'll have to let us know because it would be something that would be really cool. There would be a really great host for it. And I don't know, I think it'd be interesting. And I think there a lot of people would have stories. I would listen to it.
It feels like such a good next project. It's in the family, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of along the Dating Detectives line.
Yeah. If you have a story that you feel like aligns with that, or you have a story that you want to share with the Dating Detectives about your dating scams and dogfish and et cetera, you can email us at investigate@thedatingdetectivespodcast.com. Ooh, I almost messed up the email.
Have you guys know she had to look at her board to make sure she got that right. So I'm not the only one who doesn't know it.
It's really hard. It's hard.
It's so funny. I love it.
All right, y'all. Let us know what you think of this episode. We can't wait to see you at the live show if you're coming. And we love you so much.
Yeah, rate us 5 stars if you can. We really appreciate it. It helps us to grow the podcast. And as always, trust your femtations.